to the Nerdentials Podcast, starring your hosts, Joe Tweedy, Matthew Johnson, Nick Thomas, and Lynn Dudley.
Welcome to Nerdentials, your weekly dose of the nerdy essentials covering film, TV, video games, and comic books. I'm your host, Joe Tweeden, and joining me in 2020, that's right, nerds, welcome to 2020. Sounds a little futuristic for us, but we're going to go with it, because that's the reality of this whole thing. Joining me tonight are two lovely, intelligent, and deeply nerdy individuals. On the one side, we have the Lynn Dudgeon.
Heyo!
Welcome, Lynn!
What up?
Welcome to 2020.
2020.
I know! And we've got some clapping on the other side. We have my other obliged nerdy host. We have the Nick Thomas.
Oh.
Sorry, Nick, how is it? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
I know. I realize Lynn's catchphrase is very like on the nose. You say a thing and boom, you can set it off like a firecracker.
Mine's going to be different each time. So
yours is more of a cultivated thing. It's more of a situation by situation.
But that's okay. We're going into 2020 dry.
Super dry.
There we go. Good call.
There we go.
That's catchphrase from last year. Loved.
Call back to our old shit. Nerds, if you are fans, you know where that comes from. And if you're new, welcome to the Nerdcast. Guys, welcome back. If you took a break and this is your first time coming back in 2020, we welcome you to the fold. And if you're new to Nerdentials, we welcome you nonetheless. Guys, if you are interested, how many ways can I say that? Excited to learn about nerdy facts. What?
You said if they're interested. I'm like, Len, was he just hitting on them?
I think a more subtle way would be just passing through. See anything you like, speak up.
All right. Let me try that angle, Lynn. Let's see how that sells. Guys, if you're a little nerdy by nature and you happen to be passing through while clicking on this video or clicking on the podcast, because that's right, guys, we are a multifaceted nerd channel. We deliver nerd news, nerd facts, all about pop culture. And if you're receiving us either through audio only, or if you happen to be on the interwebs and you're seeing our ugly mugs displayed here on the YouTubes, I know, I'm sorry, guys. I discredit us way too often. I think we're all pretty sexy, but I'm going to leave that to the casual audience to decide on their own entry into this.
I'm too sexy for occupant on door.
No, I'm going to... thank you for the 90s reference, but we're in the 2020s, Nick. We need to look forward. So, as we're doing that, let's just
have to pay for that, good sir. They also have to pay for that. They don't
get that.
I don't take ones.
Yeah, I will reiterate, you do need to pay to have fun, audience.
Okay. Audience, you heard it here first. One of our co-hosts, Nick and Lynn, who have now procured the facet of the deeper nerd news. You guys may have to pay for more, but for right now, for what you're getting in this moment, just keep watching. Because
these current facets are free.
Yeah, the current facets are free.
What the hell is this?
This is not DLC. You guys are advertising the DLC. I am here just to start a show. I'm here to start a completely free show. Don't introduce the microtransactions till the end, Lynn. We talked about this.
Loot Crate.
No, that's not us. Can we move forward? We're not sponsored by any of them.
Loot Crate.
Oh, this is gonna be interesting.
I was more talking about like the Call of Duty and then the Battlefront, Star Wars, Loot Crate, fiascos.
He is not talking about the nerdy Loot Crate that you can subscribe to monthly. He's referring to microtransactions.
What's the drop chance that my shirt comes off then?
Very minimal in my edit, because this is the free version, and we're trying to...
It all depends on the amount of vodka. Well, like we said before, nerds, welcome to Nerd Essentials. And please join us as we jump into, do we have any listener feedback, Joe?
Ooh, yes, please. Listener
feedback. Interesting that you throw that out there, Nicholas, but thank you nonetheless. Ooh, this guy was aggressively negative on this gaming video. Let's find something.
No, what did he say? What did he say? I want to hear it.
Okay, may cut this out, but Jared Adams, hey, posted it on Facebook, dude, so I'm giving you a shout out. On my Xbox Game Pass Player Pass series, where I played the first 20 minutes of After Party, which, by the way, Lynn enjoyed thoroughly two times through, I only played 20 minutes, and Jared Adams decided to throw in the comment, and the first person... Oh, he goes, he wrote, hey, I'm your first comment. He wrote another comment saying, and the first person who's going to tell you that this game f***ing sucks. Exact words.
It does.
I'll bleep that out.
I don't know what game he's talking about.
Nicholas?
I'm joking.
Lynn put a lot of time into that game, and he thoroughly enjoyed it.
What game?
Hey,
After Party on Game Pass.
After Party is definitely fun.
I'll throw this out there. Different strokes for different folks. He's probably into first-person shooters or in a heavy RPG or something action-based. Or, I don't want to put him in a box, but he might be into racing games, for all we know. Hey-o, you know?
Hey,
and rock on.
You never know. You never know. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it is a kind of one-off choose-your-own-adventure story, and if you're into that kind of thing, rock on. I enjoy the narrative of the game. That's it.
Agree.
I don't depreciate his comment, because for some people, it probably did suck. It probably dragged ass, and there were certain aspects of it that were tough to get through, or very cringy, or very not what they're into, and I get it. But on the same note, other people might enjoy it for different reasons, and rock on. Jared, I don't hate you.
Oh, here we go. All right. It was 3 weeks ago that this guy wrote, and I know we're late to the game, dude, but shout out to one of our YouTube commenters. He goes by the name Shots Plays. He wrote, Nerdentials, that's an impressive reply. It takes people years to reply. By the way, I subscribed. Heyo, shout out to you. Thanks for the sub, my man. And then he replied a week later. He's like, yo, it came to the service. How did I guess that? Because when he replied, Hitman or GTA 5, he made the comment... His first comment was, so sad that it left for Hitman. It's one of my favorite games, but if GTA 5 came to Game Pass, it would be epic. And he literally wrote that a week before Rockstar added it to Game Pass. So, he says, thanks for the response. He subbed to us, and then he said, yo, it came to the service. How did I guess that? And I wrote back to him, dude, it did come to Game Pass, LOL, and I downloaded it yesterday. Also, thanks for the sub. I wrote him back on that same day. And, yeah, dude, so welcome to the Nerdcast, Shots Plays. Hope you keep watching our stuff.
Awesome. Shots plays. Can we get more predictions from you, my man? Because that was a good call.
Right, dude. Hey, in this video.
I don't even think throwing darts at a dartboard, I could have hit GTA 5.
That was epic. He literally made the comment days before Rockstar made a deal with Microsoft to add it to Game Pass. Flipping epic. So,
right? And I mean, GTA 5 is fun. I'm not going to knock it. All the little...
Well, no, dude, it's also the Xbox One edition, which... This was one of those cross-platform generation games. It came on the 360 and the PS3, then it migrated to PS4 and Xbox One. And in the Xbox One version, they added first-person perspective to the entire game. So if you want to, you can play GTA 5 in an FPS mode. I'm going to load it up. I downloaded it a couple weeks ago, and I just haven't had time to get into it, but I want to try it out in that mode because I think that might be fun. But that being said, dude, thank all of you guys for your comments on YouTube. Guys, the only last thing I'll say before we jump into the episode is please feel free to comment on any of the videos you see here on YouTube. Add ideas, suggestions on things you want to hear about or see us play or talk about. You know, the same goes for ratings. Like, guys, we're also on podcasts on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. That actually helps us get seen by more people. And if you're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or Spotify, any of those locations, give us a good rating or review. Anything, if you guys like what you see here, give us a review. It helps people find us, and we can grow this thing. But that being said, guys, thanks for all the comments that have been made. And every episode, when we see these things, we will give you guys a shout out on our normal podcast episode that you see here today. So, Nicholas, really good segue to make. Thank you for bringing that up on listener feedback. We do need to reconnect with our audience. We need to continue connecting with the audience.
Keep it grounded.
Keep it grounded. Guys, Nerdentials is all about delivering you guys the nerdy essentials to everything that you love about pop culture. That's our goal here, and we love the conversation. So, tonight, today, or this morning, whenever you're listening to it, today is Movie Matters. So, Nick, if you would oblige me with that statement, let's roll what?
Movie Matters. Oh, roll that beautiful
footage. Thank you. Guys, welcome to Movie Matters. Today, this is podcast episode 78, so welcome. Welcome to 2020, and welcome to our first venture into a new decade. Can you guys believe it? 2020, this is a new decade.
Dang.
Right?
You're a new decade.
Well, say what you want, but it is a new decade. And so kicking things off, guys, we do have a few things that we want to talk about that have recently come out this week. But, I mean, there's a lot of news. We'll reconvene on general movie news, but some of these, we're going to talk about a bunch of movie trailers, and amongst these trailers, a lot of it is newsworthy, because some of this stuff is either brand spanking new, or has been dredged up from a long winter's wait, if you will. Get to that in a minute, but guys, let's start off, honestly, with the first trailer that came out this last week, in the last week, we saw for the first time in what seems like two flipping years of wondering where this film was going to land. And we're talking about New Mutants. That is the 20th Century Fox production that went into production and was announced and gave us our first teaser trailer. We're going to talk more about what teaser trailers mean as we go forward tonight, but we had a teaser trailer for a film called New Mutants, and this was one of Fox's last ventures into the X-Men based universe of lore before Disney officially bought them up and added them to their collection. That is a creepy island. That is interesting. You guys go to YouTube if you want to watch the video version of this. There's occasionally shenanigans that ensue during our podcast. But back to the
conversation. Did you say shenanigans? Who's getting pistol whipped?
So here's the thing, guys, is, you know, prior to Disney buying them out, I do recall that when they first put it into production and they had nearly finished it, I remember hearing and reading that there were screeners for this thing, and I also remember hearing that the screeners were not doing super well for the general public, that for the people that were allowed to see these screeners, there were mixed feelings about it, and I knew that they were going to, like, right away after screeners were announced, we heard reports that they were going to do reshoots or that the production was delayed. It was delayed like 3 different times in the first year that it was announced. And this was over two years ago now. And then when Disney bought out 20th Century Fox, nearly everything was kind of at a standstill as far as we stopped hearing anything about it. A couple months went by. We didn't know anything about this movie. And then shortly after, in the last few months, we still were like, we heard rumors, oh, you know, what's Disney going to do with it now? Like, it clearly underperformed. Are they going to waste money on reshoots? Are they going to try to make it better? If they're not, are they going to cut their losses and throw it up on Hulu? Like, for all intents and purposes, we heard that this film was a completed product, essentially. And the only thing that was going to save it or make it better was doing reshoots, from what we heard. And there was a lot of speculation that, I mean, Disney lost a lot of money on the Dark Phoenix film, the last prequel episode that came out focusing on the young X-Men. And they were doing the Dark Phoenix storyline all over again. That did really poor in the box office. And because Disney owns 20th Century Fox prior to its release, Disney kind of took a dip on its performance. So we're like, well, shoot, that one did so bad. They're definitely not going to release New Mutants in theaters. That's kind of a lost cause. But they're not going to completely can it. They're not going to get rid of it because it's a finished product that just might not do well for their numbers. So they're definitely not going to put it in theaters. And for everything we heard rumor wise, we thought for sure, well, they own majority of Hulu now. Worst case scenario, they'll probably throw it up on Hulu. A lot of hardcore fans and podcasters I listen to have said, we just want to see it at this point. We don't care if it comes to Hulu. We just want to see this thing that we've been waiting for. Presumed first horror film based in the X-Men universe. We're like, this sounds cool. Even if it turns out to be a shit film, we want to see it. That's kind of where everyone was sitting at as far as the internet, the fan base. We just didn't know what was up. And now, out of the blue, seemingly with no announcements, we get a random trailer entitled New Mutants. I think Trailer 1 it's called. It says, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It says The New Mutants, it now says. And it says, official trailer. And it was uploaded on 20th Century Fox's YouTube channel. I'm looking at it right now. Hold on 1 second. And, I mean, hold on. Let's see, how many views has it got? Where's it sitting at here? 1 second. It's sitting at 5.8 million views as of right now, and this was released in the last 7 days. Out of nowhere. And it's a 2 minute and 20 second trailer, So this is a full-blown trailer. It doesn't say teaser. It doesn't say trailer one, trailer two. I think Disney straight up, I don't know. We don't know the details. Like, did they do reshoots or not? We've got to assume Disney, knowing what was wrong with it, must have done something or assisted financially in patching it up in some way to enough to justify releasing this. Because there's no way Disney would release this in theaters if they didn't think it was going to at least make the money back that they put into it at this point. Because they already took a loss on Dark Phoenix. They wouldn't take two losses in a row. Seemingly, it looks like Disney's like pushing this out through 20th Century Fox and like, hey, we're going to try to get our money back at least. So they've done something at least to the extent of reshooting, or I don't know what they did, but this is the first trailer we've seen. The previous one, if you guys remember, almost 2 years ago, the teaser we saw was just a montage of freaky scenes with a number of actors and actresses that we're familiar with. Oh, Maisie Williams, cool, from Game of Thrones. At the peak of her popularity coming from Game of Thrones, which is now over. And Anya Taylor-Joy, who came from the psycho thriller series from M. Night Shyamalan, Glass and Split, which were sequels to Break. Help me out, Nick. What was that one?
Which one?
The first film that these two films are sequels to. Unbreakable, thank you. Oh, I figured it out.
Unbreakable, Bruce Willis.
Sorry. Yeah, Bruce Willis. Unbreakable by M. Night Shyamalan 20 years ago made sequels. Split with James McAvoy, and then the sequel to that, Glass, that just came out. Anya Taylor-Joy is a young actress who's kind of been coming up in Hollywood in recent films. And we see them in this trailer, and this is the first trailer we've seen where there's like an actual laid out plot for what we're going to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Nick wrote in the notes here, we've got two well-known characters from the X-Men universe, specifically from the New Mutants franchise of comics. We have the characters Magic and Wolfsbane and other teenage mutants who are trying to come to grips with their superpowers while staying in what seems like a secret facility. Almost like they're being held in like a psych ward or mm-hmm. something.
When watching the trailer, I actually saw someone that I was surprised to see in there. One of the other teenagers playing in their lockup inside the facility with them is the older brother from Stranger Things.
Oh, Wolfheart.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Do you know what character he's playing in this? Can you tell what he's?
I could look it up real quick.
Okay, I'll kind of like edit this little pause out, but I don't know if they've specified or if you could tell in the trailer what he does.
Yeah. What's his name again? Charlie Heaton, right? No.
No. Well, I was thinking of. Did I get that wrong? Charlie Heaton was the older brother. Sorry. I was thinking of Wolfheart, which is one of the four boys in Stranger Things. He's in another film. I don't think he was in this one. Yeah, Charlie Heaton. Will's older brother in Stranger Things. Will was the kid that was possessed. The older brother was the high schooler that was a photographer, had a relationship with Nancy. Hashtag Stranger Things fandom, guys. Yo. Yeah,
Sam, he plays his character, Sam Guthrie, who everyone will know as Cannonball.
For everyone in comic fandom that will know, because I don't know much about New Mutants personally, so that's cool. I knew that was one of the mutants in this.
A lot of strength, and he pretty much has you know who Juggernaut is.
Once he gets going, he can't be stopped.
Yeah, but he quite literally bounces off of things and uses that power to do that. That's why they call him Cannonball. So
like almost like the ability that Black Panther has where he absorbs energy and then reflects it or deflects it or whatever. Conceptually similar, different characters obviously.
In Cannonball's instance, isn't it due to the vibration?
I think so.
It's like the kinetic energy transfer.
Which is where I was thinking Black Panther when you say kinetic energy, because his suit that, you know, is able to absorb energy and then redirect the, it.
Isn't it what is that element called that they rely on?
You're talking about Black Panther's?
Yeah.
Kinetic energy?
No, the material.
Vibranium.
Vibranium. Vibration, kinetic energy, same thing, right?
Oh snap, play on words. Thank you, Marvel. So guys, we've kind of laid out the current state of this thing. We've seen the trailer. Let's get thoughts and opinions on it real quick before we move on. So I'm just going to throw this out there. Definitely, even though I think it's only PG-13, so that kind of saddens me as far as a horror film fan is concerned. But on the side of like X-Men and Marvel, I say this is definitely one of their first takes at the horror genre, if not psycho thriller being mixed into that. And that's how I'm feeling about it, and it excites me. What are your guys' thoughts? Lynn, it looks like maybe you got a little thought on this as you're thinking about it.
I don't think that the rating really necessarily needs to be a factor. Like, there doesn't need to be gore and death for it to be scary or horror. There could be that psychological mind trip that, you know, that just makes you as a human feel like you've lost control, that could still mess some people up, you know, and that could be scary. I could definitely.
Sure, like, yeah. I'm not advocating that all horror has to be rated R. I just know that horror fans do love the freedom that an R rating could offer to bring it to a really dark place. But I also agree with you, PG-13 can still pull off like a fun story if not for going into the extreme. Nick,
yeah,
thoughts on this trailer? Excitement level, what are you thinking?
I like it looks pretty good. I've seen this kind of twist with some superhero movies so far. They did really good with what was that one called?
Did you watch Legion?
Yeah, I did watch Legion. That was really good. I loved it.
Okay. Nice.
And this kind of feels along that dark, gritty side of it.
Similar path.
But it's almost like they took Legion and I forget the name of it. There's another one that was similar. The whole idea that they're all stuck in a mental institution and they're trying to figure out what's going on. It's kind of a coming of age style movie, so they don't know what's going on with them.
That's the exciting part to me, because aside from the general premise that a bunch of teenagers are stuck in an asylum, they're also left to deal with the idea that they're not normal because of their mutant abilities, which is a constant theme throughout any X-Men property. Is most X-Men in any given story have a factor of youth or backstories from people that are now used to it. We constantly see the theme of dealing with not being a normal human being, and X-Men constantly relates the idea, they kind of take sort of a racism angle on a lot of their stories, where normal humans look down upon any mutant that is with whatever, and that you're not like us is always a theme. And so we've got two very apprehensive, mentally stressful themes going on, where they're being trapped by someone they don't know and they're learning they have abilities. You know, and how do you come to grips with realizing, you know, and in some ways you think, oh man, being a kid, I'm thinking, oh man, I got superpowers, sweet. But the thing with the X-Men is it's not always about the cool powers. Sometimes it's about the bizarre, unusual, and how do I deal with it powers. Like, any number of characters, like, all I can do is freeze people. Well, shit. How is that going to help me? Or all I can do is walk through walls, and what if I get stuck in a wall? I mean, you know, think of any number of abilities that are not the typical, oh, sweet, I'm Superman, but you're not Superman.
My drinks will forever be cold with the ice powers, and I will be able to fix any electrical issues within my wall that I'm stuck in while I'm here.
Or leave it to our mechanic.
Crazy. Different when she was growing up. Rogue didn't realize that she was actually absorbing other people's powers and stuff until later. She just thought she was making people sick and killing them.
Well, and think about that too. Like, even though like her ability is awesome, also consider her age and the first X-Men movie. The first X-Men movie with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and just Rogue like had a boyfriend and realized she couldn't touch him because of previous experiences, and then she accidentally kills him. Like, spoiler warning for a 20-year-old movie now, but
I definitely think this is going to be a good movie. So
yeah, I am. Based on how the trailer was structured, it looks fun. It looks interesting and intriguing.
Well, yeah. Like I was saying, they're kind of doing this horror twist on superhero movies, like Brightburn. Did anyone watch that?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that was dark.
I loved it. It was awesome.
James Gunn was a producer for that. # James Gunn fan. And the film was well put together. It was creepy as hell. It's what if Superman were a little boy and it was not brought up by, or was, had a dark side to him, basically. Yeah. Creepy. So, we're all interested and or excited for New Mutants.
Always excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Now, guys, this is going to move us on into our next kind of surprise release trailer that I don't think... I don't know if any of us actually expected it. I hadn't been keeping up on tabs of what Sony's been doing, but when the trailer dropped, I was like, I knew Sony was wanting to do the villain, the Spider-Man Rogues Gallery of solo films. I knew through other podcasts and news articles that Sony was wanting to do this. I just had no idea that they were already full-blown through production on this next one that we're about to talk about. Coming off the coattails of Venom from the previous year, we already got announcements based on the surprise. Critically didn't do good, but fans loved it, and the box office speaks. It almost got $1 billion on its own. It got really close to $900 million, and because of that, Sony is like, boom, baby, we're doing a sequel. Venom 2 is in the works. So we knew that was coming with Tom Hardy playing the infamous Venom. And we also knew that they were talking about other Spider-Man Rogues galleries. And specifically, we're going to talk about Sinister Six, basically the culmination of these six major villains in the Spider-Verse that are all going to eventually commence together to, you know, kill Spider-Man and what have you. I do not have as much knowledge as I know my other cohorts do tonight on the Spider-Verse in general or Sinister Six, but let's swing back on the lore of that. After we talk about the trailer that dropped, let's talk about the trailer first. And then as we do, let's unfurl the facts of what we know about comic book history and canon. So the trailer that Sony dropped on us that was kind of a surprise to me was Morbius. Morbius, the living vampire. Now that's not in the title for the film, but That's the comic it's based off of. It's one of the villains in the Spider-Verse. I will just read the synopsis, and then I'll leave it to you guys to tell me your thoughts on the trailer. Then we'll dive in a little further. So the general premise for what we saw in the trailer is the biochemist Michael Morbius, played by Jared Leto, tries to cure himself of a rare blood disease, but when his experiment goes wrong, he inadvertently infects himself with a form of vampirism instead. Now, the key player in this one is Jared Leto, and contrary to past feelings on maybe how you felt about his portrayal as Joker in the Suicide Squad, which unfortunately was a box office flop for DCEU, I think personally I love Suicide Squad, as a side note, so no criticism here, but I do feel, after seeing this trailer, that Jared Leto is kind of a perfect pick for the feeling and theme and angle they're going with for this film. I really liked what I saw in the trailer. We'll break down the trailer in a minute. So, general thoughts. I'm more excited about this than Venom. Than I was when I saw Venom. And I was excited about Venom. But this is kind of, it's a solo film about a villain. And I know we've heard a lot of speculation amongst fans and podcasters. We're saying, can they really make good films that are just solely focused on these villains? And the premise and the layout alone, I thought was really cool. I'm going to pass it off to my other host to kind of expand on their feelings. Nick, if you wanted to say something, I'll let you throw in your piece here. What did you want or wanted to
we
say
about it? We actually don't know in this if he's a villain.
Okay, well, I'm speaking from like the outside perspective, but yes, like as you're right, and all
it doesn't look like he's actually doing villainy things other than drinking blood. But that's because he has an urge to do so. He's still fighting something.
Okay, so here's where Nick is going to lay out the canon. I want you to just kind of give us a brief background that's easy for the casual listener to understand of why is he called Morpheus, quote, the living vampire. I know a bit of the background because of recent research, but I feel like you'd be best to speak on this, so go ahead.
Well, his rare blood disease transformed the virus that was given to him by the bat in the trailer into a form of vampirism. But he's not dead.
Right.
That's the big difference between a vampire and what he is. Living vampire. He's still alive, but he has a hunger, and his body is going through a transformation.
Right.
Where in, like, the original Spider-Man comics in the TV show in the 90s, you actually see him. He has very bat-like features. He flies. He does all those things. Sometimes he even works with Spider-Man. He isn't exactly a villain. He has worked as a villain when it suits him. But for the most part, he kind of does what is best for him. And he's mostly driven by love. He's a helpless romantic. Before he's introduced into this, he's got a fiance, and he's doing everything he can to be there for her.
Dude, you said fiance, so I don't mean to interrupt. Lynn wants to interject or add to this, but when you said hopeless romantic and girlfriend, that made me think Deadpool, anti-hero. Oh, go ahead, Lynn. Real quick, go ahead.
But to Nick's credit, like you're saying, his case of vampirism where it's a living – yeah, no, put that down. His thing with the living vampire is that it's a radioactive vampirism as opposed to a magical vampirism. So it's not
supernatural, right? Yeah, because he didn't have to die to get there.
Yeah, it's just kind of trying to add on to Nick's point.
Well, and the consistent thing with Marvel from the mouth of the great Stan Lee himself, he always tried to base characters, #creator of Spider-Man, Stan Lee, always tried to base his creations on scientific reality. He always tried to ground them in a sense of reality. And so Morpheus is no exception to that rule. He is scientifically manipulated by the virus that creates the famously known vampire.
Yes.
Hashtag truth, Lynn. Thank you for that point.
Well, and another reason why they called him the living vampire is in the 70s, there was a comic code authority. There was a strict regulation that no supernatural monsters like vampires and stuff like that could be in comics.
Yeah.
Right. The whole censorship of selling to kids, basically.
Yep.
It was, I guess you can call it depicted censorship.
It was a dark time for comic book history, in my personal opinion. But anyway, anything else about this? How about we go back to the trailer for a minute? So now we got a little backstory to Michael Morbius himself.
Hold on. Let's hear the relation to him and the Sinister Six. Where does that come?
Yeah, give us a little context for Sinister Six. Actually, why don't you just, in as short a form as you can without going too long, who are the Sinister Six, Nick? I know you know.
Not.
What?
Well, okay, which version of the
Sinister Six? There's multiple versions.
I know, so... Which is the most popular in your mind, do you think? The ones you think that Sony will probably go for?
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I don't know. Hit it, Nick. I'll go with the six that I know of that are the most popular that always get hit on.
Well, you could give us the original most popular because they went with S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel, and all that, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe mostly follows the Marvel Ultimates.
Okay.
Congruency. So that would include...
But let's not forget that Sony is not necessarily directly connected to MCU.
Oh, I know.
At this point.
I would almost think that if they're going to do the Sinister Six, you have Mysterio. He's already been in there. Yeah. I don't think he's dead. You got to have Doc Ock.
You're going to have Electro. At some point,
we've actually seen Electro already.
Yep, you've also seen Shocker.
The Vulture.
Yeah. Based on the cameo at the end, that's almost a confirmation by Sony.
Well, and he was in the first movie.
Yeah.
No, but okay. We'll break the. Let's. We'll come back to. Remind me to come back to that. We'll talk about the MCU SMU connectivity. But go ahead, finish. Go ahead. You said Vulture.
I would definitely say, Kraven the Hunter, Electro, Doc Ock, Vulture, and Mysterio. Because in the movie so far, we haven't seen a viable Norman Osborn, and I think they've overdone it already, so they're not going to go that route. So I don't think we'll see the Goblin.
Or they'll wait till the end before they bring him in, if they do at all.
And they haven't gone into the big gang affiliations through there, so I don't think we'll see a Fisk. So it leads to the ones I went into. And they bungled Rhino so bad. I don't think they'll even try to touch that.
Maybe not.
Maybe they will and try to redeem themselves. I doubt it.
So
the other ones that you probably won't see will be, you won't see a Tombstone. Nope. I highly doubt you'll see a Tombstone. And then I wouldn't cross it out, but like the Sandman Sinister Six had Scorpion and Sandman and... Yep. What was the other one? I can't remember the other ones in Sandman Sinister Six, but across all of the Sinister Sixes, Scorpion was in at least two or three of them, if I remember correctly. And then none of them had Lizard Man, the scientist, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think you'll see him at all, but across a few of the others, there is a chance that you might see the Scorpion. I'm not going to throw it out there and say that you will see it. And then a few others also had, what was it, the Wizard?
The Wizard.
I can't remember.
I would almost say most times you see that as Mysterio.
Yeah, it is depicted as Mysterio. But like the older comics, he was called the Wizard.
No, like, there was a Wizard before.
Yeah, 1971 through 1977, he was called the Wizard.
So...
You actually saw Tech in the movie when they had the Vulture stuff for Doc Ock and Scorpion. And even the Tech for the Rhino.
There you go. You might see the Scorpion.
Yeah.
So, but
I don't think it'd be Electro. I think it'd be more Shocker.
Do you think it'll be Shocker? It won't be Electro? I don't know.
Well, again, Electro, they bungled so badly.
Yeah.
When was he shown? Which one was he in?
Amazing Spider-Man with Jamie Foxx.
Okay. Here's the thing. That we got to remember a couple things here when talking about who may or may not be in this for the going forward. Those previous Spider-Man films exist in a complete alternate reality. They're not part of the current canon. And officially with the release of this Morbius film, Sony has creatively called this Sony's Marvel Universe.
Yes, so like but anything Sony, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to hear you out. Go ahead. I just was pausing because I was going to.
If you've noticed a trend, anything that Sony has seen that has done poorly, they refuse to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Okay, fair enough.
As they didn't come back to Norman Osborn.
Well, I don't think they won't ever. I think it's one of those things that they have looked at and decided, okay, we're going to stick that on the really far back burner, and maybe if it suits us, we'll come back and add him way late in the game, which is why they shot for Venom and now Morbius. Very offshoot characters as far as what Sony has stuck with up to this point. And they're like, actually Venom was kind of unique because that was the Tobey Maguire film, the failed Spider-Man 3 that did the poorest out of all the Spider-Man films. It did the worst in box office. Granted, it's been separated by a decade and a half of time, but it is funny that they went for a straight Venom, even though the Venom portrayed in the most failed Spider-Man film was the first one that they went with.
Where it actually took his suit, and he got the black suit, the black sweaty suit.
Right, yeah, regardless of how they tackled the scenario, it's interesting that that was the first one they went to. Now, Morbius is kind of a uniquely different one that they haven't even touched up to this point, and that's great. That's exciting.
Them trying to build a universe, they're going to want to pick people that they can make movies about.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, that too.
Well, no. I was going to throw this out there that it's such a character from an older genre of Spider-Man that it'd be interesting to see their take. It'd be interesting to see the hardcore fan base that actually would enjoy it or grasp the backstory of Morbius that I don't know if the current fan base would, you'd probably get like a 50-50 where they're like, oh, this is awesome. Rock on, vampires and Spider-Man. Or you'd get the other ones that are kind of like.
So
there's another way to look at it. Venom, end of it. They brought in Carnage. They implemented other symbiotes. So they're trying to build a whole universe. They are not just going to pick offshoots that have no connections anywhere else. Venom brought in the symbiotes. Morbius, there's a connection you guys probably aren't even thinking about that's so big in Marvel. That would be brilliant for them to be able to bring this in. How the hell else are you going to bring in Blade into the MCU?
Yes, I've heard theories on the potential of bringing in that. Of bringing in Blade.
Probably not Wesley Snipes, though.
No.
Unless they equip swords.
No, he's Walker. Already been cast. No, Blade has already been cast, dude, in the MCU. Oh, Mahershala Ali. Yeah, sorry. Larry found it right as you were saying it. It's no release date yet, but he has been confirmed to be in Phase 5, not Phase 4, by Kevin Feige on stage at D23 when they announced the entire Phase 4 lineup. Now, that can ebb and flow with last-minute changes over the next year or two, but for the next 2 years, we're not going to see Blade yet. But here's the other interesting thing, is that Sony did, as we talked about in previous episodes, where there was the whole debacle of, oh no, they can't make work things out, oh no, clickbait, news articles abound, oh no, Spider-Man leaving the MCU because the contract's up, and Kevin Feige saying, well, we got to tell the story we wanted to, which is just his PR, it's just his PR talk for, yeah, we haven't worked things out yet, but moving forward in the event that it didn't work out. But guess what? Marvel and Sony did work out a current deal where they've agreed to help in the production of one more of Spider-Man 3, currently untitled, but with Tom Holland in Spider-Man 3. Sony is going to make one more picture with Tom Holland. And they also worked out another deal to get Tom Holland in one more group outing with the Avengers at some point in the next 2 years. Probably after Phase 4 because of the timeline and how. And right now everyone's busy with current productions. But Marvel and Disney did, or Sony and Disney worked out a deal for two more films with Tom Holland on both sides. Now the interesting thing I want to throw out there is I'm pretty sure in the details of that negotiation, we know for a fact through what I've read that Kevin Feige is not assisting in the production of any of these solo Sony films. However, specifically Morbius. However, it is speculated and theorized that because Sony is trying to build out the Spider-Verse on their end, that they did agree, Feige agreed to say, hey, even though Michael Keaton played in the MCU version of Spider-Man, yeah, I mean, go ahead. You go ahead and call up Michael Keaton, pay him whatever his rate is to make a cameo as the Vulture. Go ahead. You know what I mean? And then Sony's like, all right. So, like, I don't know necessarily if there's going to be, like, an immediate crossover, but the theory going right now across the internet amongst fans is it seems like, okay, the deal they made out, Kevin Feige is like, yeah, you can go ahead and use these secondary characters for cameos if you need to. You got to call them up and work it out. And guess what? Michael Keaton seems to have agreed to at least make an appearance. If for nothing else, we don't know how much he's going to play into this film. It might be an end credit scene with Morbius. But it definitely seems like Sony is trying to build this thing up. And I think Kevin Feige and Disney are probably fine with it as long as Sony doesn't try to take any of their characters into a world-ending plot, which is on the scale of Avengers, but as long as it's sequestered to the Spider-Verse, you know, New York City or wherever that the Sinister Six is going to take place, I think those things are going to work themselves out, and I think right now they have a good thing going, and I'm very interested and excited to see where are these things going to cross? Where are these things going to mix? And who else are we going to see from the solo Spider films enter into these solo villain films? I'm making that up, although it's probably going across the internet.
Yeah, part of the deal, they agreed that there'll be one more Spider-Man MCU movie, the third Homecoming, and then one unannounced Marvel wide event,
right? A team up kind of like kind.
Infinity War or Civil War.
Yeah, because he was like in that. Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame. So that was Tom Holland's introduction into the three MCU films.
Well, and I'm thinking with all the big ones gone, he's going to play a bigger part in the next mashup.
Yeah, and it might not be for another 4 years, depending on because all the current films have been announced as far as.
Give him time to age into his character. develop his character. That'll be great.
Yeah, and Tom Holland's young enough that he could do Spider-Man for the next decade and a half if he wanted to.
How long did Hugh Jackman do Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman was already an adult at the time, though, and he just, yes, he aged into it. 20 years in X-Men. 20 years, yes.
20 years as a character there. And he was already old as sin. But
no, not no. Patrick Stewart's old as sin. He was already in his prime.
Shuck it, Quebec. Sean Connery's old as sin.
Hugh Jackman was in his physical prime as an actor, as far as his age is concerned. Hey. He was into his 40s when he started Wolverine.
I say let Tom Holland run it out and get to the point where he's, you know, fed up with it. That'll give him enough time to find the right Miles Morales.
I would rather see Kane.
Dude, it's 2020, and come on. What's his name?
Which
Sorry,
one?
Sorry, guys, I've been drinking. I apologize. My nerd card does not need to be taken yet. Guy that played young Lando Calrissian in the Han Solo film.
You're talking about Glover?
Atlanta.
Glover.
Who?
Glover?
Donald.
Yeah, Donald Glover. They've already tried to insinuate him.
They didn't try, they did. Donald Glover was Miles Morales' uncle, who played as the, what was the name of that character? Great, now you've done it to me. What?
Panther?
No. No. Was in the actual
Spider-Man Far From Home.
The cartoon.
And the Spider-Verse. Into the Spider-Verse.
It's Panther.
No, it's not Panther. It's Prowler.
Prowler, sorry.
Yep.
Prowler, not Panther.
Oh. I knew it started with a P. Thank you.
Yeah. Either way. So, I'm excited to see where this goes. The Morbius trailer looks like a lot of fun. And you know what, guys? We got Matt Smith, the second Doctor Who of the current generation of Doctor Whos. And he's playing a villain, but we don't know what his role is yet. And we only get 2 seconds of him walking in the trailer. Like, he's just walking. We don't even know what his motivation is in this trailer. But Matt Smith is playing a character, Loxias Crown. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Appearing in American comic books published by Marvel. First appeared in Spider-Man number 76 back in 1997. It was created by Howard Mackey.
Yeah, Loxias Crown was his best friend almost.
A Hydra scientist.
And he had the same blood disease as Michael.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so August. This is... Okay, and you know, I heard someone joke on a recent podcast how every superhero origin story always has the hero fighting their exact twin with opposite agendas. So, I mean, think about it. Morbius is, they both have the same blood disease. They're going to be pinned up against each other.
Matt Smith is his Ajax?
No, Loxias Crown becomes the villain Hunger, which is another vampiric creature, but he spawns the Children of the Night, and
Oh, snap. Yeah, so, I mean, the little small detail I just wanted to throw in there, about because I love Matt Smith, connecting to this trailer. So there we go, guys. We got New Mutants. We got Morbius. I think we're all intrigued and interested in where this is going to go. Guys, we don't have anything else news-wise, but let's wrap up this conversation with one last trailer in our Movie Matters episode tonight, and let's talk about the film Free Guy.
Yes.
Why don't you lay out the premise and your thoughts, and we'll add to it.
Well, first off, I gotta say, Ryan Reynolds is on fire lately. Since he jumped into Deadpool, you've only seen him in more and more stuff, and it's been an absolute pleasure to see him in it. Stuff like I said, Deadpool. He was in the new Hobbs and Shaw. Hitman Bodyguard. He's coming out with Hitman Bodyguard 2. Six Underground on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. But Ryan Reynolds, yeah, freaking Ryan Reynolds, plays as a bank teller called Guy, who realizes he's a background character in an open world video game.
Hashtag NPC for you gaming nerds.
Called Free City. He, in his role, decides, you know what? I don't want to be a background character. I don't want to do the normal stuff and get shot in the face and have this all happen. I'm going to take it to the man. And he ends up like going after one of the characters in a bank in the trailer and puts on the glasses and he sees like the HUD display in the video game. And he starts doing all these crazy things and it looks like a wild, crazy, funny, ridiculous ride.
Dude, this film is hitting off the coattails of what seems to be popular to do in Hollywood over the last couple years, and that's to make video games a reality in our plots. I like to bring us back to the 1980s recreation with the whole VR experience. You guys might know this film as
Ready Player One.
Oh, snap. That was an extremist, you know.
Were you talking about Tron?
Yeah, but no, well, that goes even further back if we're talking about, but like in recent last 3 years, we're talking Hollywood has been adding a lot more elements or plot type stories where we're like bringing video games into reality. Ready Player One did the VR thing.
Ready Player One, Gamer.
This one's no exception, but it just looks like fun.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Hollywood's hitting on all cylinders. We got the kids movies. We got adult movies. Everything's about gaming lately. And it's because it's a big industry nowadays.
This kind of makes me think it's the adult funny version of Wreck-It Ralph.
And I kind of agree with that, like thinking a minute about it. Quick nerd facts. It's directed by Sean Levy. Let me do a quick take on Sean Levy. He is known for producing Arrival 2016, I know Sean Levy from the after show for Stranger Things. He's one of the producers of Stranger Things. Love the guy.
Yep.
He worked on The Spectacular Now and the famous Jet Jackson from early in the 90s to 2001, but he's done a lot of other things in recent time. Great producer, and he is directing this film, so that excites me already. It's written by Matt Lieberman, which, let's see, what are his credits real quick? Let's pull that up. I'm not doing a great job of this.
Familiar.
He worked on The Christmas Chronicles, Netflix original series. I loved the writing of that film. That is an incredible film. Kurt Russell. I loved that movie. So I already know that the comedy was solid in that film. So
Think he needed an eye patch.
Yeah. You add Ryan Reynolds, Matt Lieberman, and Sean Levy. Oh, and also, I don't know what role he's playing, but Taika Waititi of Thor Ragnarok fame, director who played IG-11 in The Mandalorian, freaking hilarious dude, great director as well, is playing a role in this film. This film has the makings of something potentially amazing. I hope I hope it sticks the landing, because the trailer launched me into a barrel of laughs.
The trailer stuck the landing. Fuck. It did.
With you, sir.
Watch the trailer. They make fun of themselves. It's awesome. It's like the studio that brought you this and this twice.
Oh my god. Yes, it listed off three classic Disney films and then added in the subtitle twice because Disney has made live reboots of each of those films. Oh, Lion King, Aladdin, and something else. And it was all that was hilarious. I love the direct. It is a lot more like Wreck-It Ralph when you think about like the logistics of gaming, because like he gets hit in the face, or he got hit in the face at the beginning when he went rogue and became a player as opposed to an NPC. And then when he stands outside, he looks over to the side and he sees a health.
After he puts on the glasses.
After he puts on the glasses to see the HUD display of the game that he's in. He looks to the side, and on the sidewalk, we got a floating, bobbing up and down classic health unit that he goes and picks up, and boom, his nose is fixed. He's healed. And then he sees all these different villains and superheroes and things just creating chaos throughout the city.
No, it was a perfect line after he... Go ahead.
We might be recalling the same scene. I want to say this is spoiler territory if you haven't seen the trailer, so please watch it. One second. I want to make sure I got the right actress here.
You're talking about that scene. Okay. You're talking about a different scene. The scene after he takes the health pack. Okay. He does this whole, like, and buzzes through his body, and he's all fresh and clean and looks like he was. And then he's like, is this what – he, like, leans over into a car window. He's like, is this what taking recreational drugs feels like? And as the car's going away, he slaps it on the rear end of it. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. No, he's like – sorry, go on.
When he was in the freaking bank, when he first goes rogue – and he takes the shot and he shoots the guy. He's like, he goes, he'll be all right.
Just sleeping.
Yeah,
he's like, he's just... in pieces.
He's like, you blew a hole through him, or he's in pieces. No, he's not all right.
Jodie Comer.
Okay, that's the one. And she's a blonde, but she had brown hair in the
trailer. Her name's Molotov Girl.
Okay, so my favorite scene is when Ryan Reynolds is on the crotch rocket motorcycle. And then Jodie Comer comes out of nowhere and lands right on his lap facing him while he's on the motorcycle trying to get out of there. And the first thing she says is that a Glock in your pocket? And classic Ryan Reynolds goes, no. And then with his perfect comedic timing pauses
and then says, she's
a little surprised. Like, and he goes, I have two Glocks or whatever. And then obviously she grabs them and they do a spin out and she's shooting them in all directions. And then they launch out of the window through the skyscraper. And
not knowing how high they are in the air.
My God, the comedic timing. If it does this for the whole film, I will go to the theaters for this one.
I'm excited for it.
Guarantee it will. Like the scene where he pulls out the minigun.
The whole thing, man. This comes out July 30th. Oh no, wait, July 3rd. Sorry, July 3rd of this year.
And
day before
my birthday.
What?
Ooh. It's the day before my birthday.
Oh, okay. And we were talking about the other movie earlier. New Mutants actually comes out April 3rd, which
let's talk about the release dates on these. We kind of skipped over that.
Next birthday movies, birthday buddies, chip chop chip.
And you would be right on July 30th, but July 31st, my wife's birthday. Is release of Morbius.
What's the date for Morbius?
July 31st.
July 31st. Good. They gave a whole month after Free Guy. Not that it's going to compete. It's two different genres, honestly. Yeah, guys. And that just covers the first half of the year. I mean, there's actually a lot of other bigger films we haven't touched on yet, and I think we might have to. We've been running long in the tooth for Movie Matters, guys, so we will probably have to do a part two on anticipated films for 2020. We'll definitely have to come back on this. Yeah.
And on top of that, if you keep track on our YouTube, you'll actually see on the Nerdentials page, every once in a while we'll put up some trailer reviews, our reactions.
Yeah, we're getting back into the reaction videos, guys, where we lay out some nerdy details, give our raw reaction of the trailer, and give you our concluding thoughts. They're short, quick videos, and they're fun to watch. So keep up on the comments down below on those and this. Before we close out, let's just ask our listeners and viewers, what are you excited for in 2020? What films are you looking forward to? Remember, folks, we've got a part two on this because, of course, the MCU is littered with films in the last half from May through the end of the year. We'll talk about a lot of those films. We'll talk about stuff coming out from the DCU, some things to look forward to in the second half of the year. But for what we talked about tonight, guys, put a comment down below. Like the video if you're on YouTube, and subscribe if you haven't yet. That being said, guys, we do have some reviews coming up, and we'll touch on those next Monday. But thanks for joining us, guys. You can follow us on all the social medias. You can follow all the content and all the video, even outside of YouTube. If you want to find it all in one beautiful place, guys, go to nerdentialsmedia.com.
.com. You'll see these beautiful faces.
As my chorus of nerdy angels sign off on this plug, I thank you for listening to us. And guys, again, if you shout out in the comments below on any of our videos, we will touch on them at the beginning of every episode under listener comments or feedback. But that's going to do it for tonight, guys. This has been your Nerdy Essentials episode. Dear Lord, we're almost 80, guys. Yeah. Episode 78, Movie Matters. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
For me, myself... Nick and Lynn.
See this how he has been your triggers himself twice there.
For me, myself, and I, and Nick and Lynn.
Three times.
There's Lynn. Six of us. No,
bastard.
This has been your Nerdy Essentials. As always, nerds, we'll see you
on the other side.
Alright, let me... This is... I kind of risked... I risked a little... I risked a little bit. I let my cam video go a full hour and 38 minutes.